Runs kindly for Morrison. It's Cal Morrison! Just listen to this, please! Spencer takes over. It's Brad Spencer! It's in the back of the net! There's Donaldson driving forward. Cole Donaldson! That is simply ridiculous! There's Tom Lang! Oh my word! Unbelievable! Phenomenal! Incredible! Invincible!
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
Oh no, no, no. We can't have just beaten Raith Rovers, can we, of Ross? I mean, let's face the facts, it was essentially a training day. But instead of Denzel and Ethan, you've got Ross Wayne and John McAnally. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. I'm here with the ginger god of Paul himself, the one man band in the main stand. It is Ross Wayne.
Good evening, Mr. McAnally. You good?
I'm good. Apologies for the lateness of this episode. We missed last week as well, which we've got to apologise for as well. Unfortunately, with the game being on Monday night and then work schedules were conflicting, we couldn't get one out yet last week, so apologies for that. We'll talk about East Kilbride on this episode, and then we're a day late with this because, again, Ross wasn't feeling very well, but you're feeling better now.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're fine. Yeah, we're all fine. Everybody's feeling better, which is the main thing.
And what a day we had it out on Saturday. We went to Rosspitality for the first time this season. That was me. Obviously, it's not the first time you've been in it this season, Ross.
Oh, that was only my second time so far.
Right. Okay. Well, I went to experience for the first time this season and thoroughly enjoyed it. I had a great wee time. I was in the 11 Lounge. Met our new commercial manager, who we'll talk about a wee bit later on. Sean, lovely guy. As always, treated so well, like Stevie and Alan, all the guys here.
They're absolutely
fantastic. And I have to say, I'm going to put my hands up because I'm the first one to complain about the food in the hospitality. I thought it was actually all right on Saturday there. I especially enjoyed the trifle cheesecake. I didn't know what to expect in that, but wow, it was just a taste sensation, Ross.
You know me, I love a cheesecake. That's my go-to dessert. And I don't think we've ever had a cheesecake in hospitality. That is making me sound like I've... but it's normally like professional.
But the amount of times that we must not have, because the amount of times you're there, for goodness sake, you know, it's a first part. It was very, very good. So again, thanks to all the guys. And bumped into big handsome himself, Tom Lang, as well. And I did. And I shout out, Tom, when are you coming back? Tom must be getting sick and fed up with this question. But he said he was on the treadmill that day, and he was hoping to get back into light training. So that's good news. Big handsome, hopefully back soon. But I was like, I'm so sorry, Tom, because you must have been asked this question so many times. But still looking as handsome as ever. And he's a great smelling guy as well. Do you know what I mean?
What was the aftershave of choice?
I don't know, mate. But just looks resplendent, smells resplendent. What a guy.
I take it he was just smelling really strong. You weren't actually like leaning in.
Oh, no, I was leaning in and smelling him. That goes without saying. But no, it was good seeing Tom, and fingers crossed he's back in the team really, really soon. Night out wise, I end up in the Tollbooth Tavern. Wheat Sheaf and then the Tollbooth Tavern.
You obviously forgot you saw me in the Tollbooth because I was in there.
No. I remember seeing you. Was that before or after my tragic karaoke performance?
I think that was after because you had a slightly different pattern for me. We were Wheat Sheaf, the Welly, Scotia, Courtyard and then to the Tollbooth again. So,
all right,
it was a good day, though, wasn't it?
I won't talk about Tollbooth. If you've never experienced the Tollbooth on a Saturday night, you're missing. It's absolutely brilliant. It's absolutely bouncing. Good few Falkirk Daft listeners in there as well. So it was great speaking to everyone there, and they got to marvel at my performance of the Arctic Monkeys. I bet you look good in the dance floor. First time I've done it, it's all right. I was having it. I can't remember the lassie does the karaoke there. She was like, "I was actually all right." And I'm like, "Thanks." I think I've made you mind it.
I thought you may have went for Band-Aid, and I'll tell you why. Because I got a message before you've had your haircut and your beard trimmed. Someone who is a big pal of the podcast, has messaged to say that you are strike a resemblance for Bob Geldof.
I don't think so. I don't think. No, now I've got the bit, now the mustache coming out. I've had a haircut. I'm a wee bit more. My wife said Chris Martin last night.
You do now. Whereas, like, before you got your haircut, I don't know who said it on the other podcast that you do, but did he say it was Marv?
Marv from Home Alone, yeah. Yes, it was Stephen that said that on the other podcast. Mm. But yeah, no, listen, it was great. And do you know what I loved the most, Ross? Getting it up Wraith Rovers. And we'll talk about the game in more detail in a bit. But it's just one of the teams that, you know, after the last time and all the cartoon palaver, you'll see behind me, we did our own cartoon on Saturday. You know, they've just really annoyed me, and they got above their stations, like, and you know, they did annoy me with it all. So I was delighted that we beat them, and I think you could probably tell by the players' reaction stuff that stuff doesn't do you any good. You know, it
they
just
mentioned
pokes
it.
The bear.
So when we were, I don't know if you know, you got different players, didn't you? So Luke Graham was in our lounge after the game, and he actually Alan Dick had said to him, "Was it good to get this win today?" And he was like, "So he said the usual sort of stuff." And he was like, "Well, listen, wanted to get one over on them after that old social media nonsense after the last game." Yeah. So the players obviously do talk about it and think about it the same way the fans did as well. But I think from a message that we got, the McGlynns seemed happy with the cartoon that we put out.
I don't know if Mandy McGlynn's any relation to John, but we got a message from Mandy. Excellent. So we've got a wee message from Mandy. So thanks for getting in touch, Mandy, and enjoying our cartoon as well. But no, great day out. Really enjoyed it. We'll get into the game and talk about that just in a bit. But first, Ross, we must visit Birthday Corner and say a couple of happy birthdays. I feel at this point I'm going to put in a bit of birthday music now. There we go. So happy birthday to Stan Anacek. That's from your daughter, Yvonne. Hope you had a great day on Friday and we saw the pic of you wearing the captain's armband. There you go. Happy birthday, Stan. Happy birthday to Angus Blakely, who was 12 on Saturday, from your uncle and previous guest pundit, of course, Dougie Blakely. And can we also give a shout out to Doug's niece, who plays for Falkirk, who scored from 30 yards versus Westerton recently. Wow.
That must have been some goal, eh?
Absolutely unbelievable stuff. And happy birthday to Alan McNeely Sr., who's 77 recently, and that's from Alan and all the family. I'm still disappointed we're not getting, like, happy from the dog. You know, that's what they used to do in the kind of birthday corner. And from your dog, Rufus, who wishes
happy. Did you do one for me when it's my birthday from Milo?
Yeah, I'll do that, mate. Your birthday's a wee while away, though, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah,
it's my birthday this week. I should wish myself happy birthday.
Shit. Yeah, we'll do that. Well, listen, I'll do that next week then.
Right, brilliant. Okay, thanks, mate. Thanks. Right, got to get back to the F Factor. Now, I did see an email that's just come in, and it's brilliant, but I'm going to save it because it's got a real Christmas tinge.
Right.
And it's not anything to do with Fuck the Pars, but it is a brilliant song that's been written. I'm going to break that out next week, but for now, on the F Factor, there's been someone else that's been inspired by the F Factor, and that man is Graham Strachan. He's come up with this one. Now, I believe that I didn't hear it, but I think they've got a new song for Alfie, haven't they? I didn't really hear it from where I was
John,
sitting.
It's brilliant. Have you not heard it yet?
No. So sing it to me, baby.
I'm gonna give you
it. Pretend you're on the Toll Booth karaoke on a Saturday night.
Right, okay. And now you'll shout at me because you'll probably go, "Oh, that's an easy tune. How do you not know it?" So I don't know who the song is actually, right? But it's Alfie on the wing. Every time you... No, I fucked that right. Let me start again. So Alfie on the wing. Alfie, Alfie on the wing. Every time you're on the ball, we know there's going to be a goal. Our superstar from Ghana. Na, 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 na. I don't know who the tune
nah,
is.
Nah, nah, nah. That's My Chemical Romance, I think. Surely not. Surely we're not. The ultras are not getting into My Chemical Romance. If they are, it is to be applauded.
I don't know the tune, but I just
nah,
thought
nah, nah, nah,
I think
nah,
I've heard
nah,
of it before.
Nah, nah, nah. I think that's My Chemical Romance.
Right, we'll go with that. But I think I've heard the tune before.
Right, okay. Well, you wouldn't have heard My Chemical Romance. You probably don't even know who that is. There you go.
No,
so it must be something else. We'll have to investigate. One of the ultras, please get in touch and let us know what the new song to Alfie and give us the complete words so we can sing along and Ross can start it in the main stand. Next time we're back at the stadium. Right, so Graham Strachan's come up with an arm one for Alfie though, and it's the tune of Agadoo. Now I'm familiar with Agadoo by Black Lace, as I'm sure you are, Ross, and the, yes, many a childhood party that would have got played at.
But etc. etc.
Yep, so here we go. Ah, yeah, man, he's a super Ghanaian. To the left, to the right, his defenders look quite shake. Aggie man, causing chaos is his game. To the left, to the right, it's never the same. See, now you need to work on that one as well. I appreciate it, Graham, but I'm Simon Cowell you here. Right, so I think you go, Aggie man, he's a super Ghanaian. That's quite hard to do. Aggie man, causing chaos. We need something to rhyme with that then, because that's how the tune goes, do you know what I mean?
What rhymes with
man, right? Aggie man, he's a super Ghanaian. Aggie man, causing chaos in the stand. No, we'll have to think of that one. Anyway, to the left, to the right, it's never as the same. Come on, dance, come on, sing. Every we'll have to think about that, but I like it. I like it. It's got potential there. I don't think it puts you through to boot camp though.
Right.
But. Yeah, thanks very much for that, Graham. And I've got a cracker for next week. It's a very festive one to, you know, at this time of year with Christmas parties and going on. So we'll get that out from Fraser next week on the F Factor. And if you want to get involved in the F Factor and have any songs, like you say, we'll pass them on to the Ultras. They'll maybe pick them up and make your song come true. But yeah, the F Factor back next week with a cracker. Now, I've got to say, talking about music, I've got to say, thank you very much to the one, the only DJ Rankin, who has sponsored this episode of Falkirk Daft. Thank you so much, DJ Rankin. Now, I'm good pals with George Bowie, you know, that name dropping there, but I've worked with George for several years. And I Am a Raver is an absolute GBX classic, and is constantly hammered on the GBX. So that's by DJ Rankin. And God, I'm just looking at it. It's like had over like about 4 million plays on Spotify.
That's fantastic.
And that's just Spotify. So if you aren't aware of DJ Rankin, you love your dance music, get involved, get on his Spotify, and also get on his Facebook page at DJ Rankin Official. Follow this guy. You know, we talked about celebrity supporters on this show before, and DJ Rankin is definitely
up there. Must be it.
Absolutely. I don't know if we're good. Is he above Young Sheldon? Is he above the witch from Supernatural?
He's above the witch from Supernatural.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I'll take that. I'll take. What about our friend Grant Thompson from Still Game?
See, I'm caught between a rock and a hard place here because he's invited me to hospitality in a few weeks' time.
Oh, has he? Oh, but we know where Grant's going now. He's straight to the top. but no, DJ Rankin, absolutely brilliant. Check out his tunes on Spotify or wherever you get your music from. And if you've not heard I Am a Raver, I'm sure you have. If you like your dances, you'll hear I Am the Raver. And get on his Facebook now at DJ Rankin Official. And thank you very much to sponsoring this episode. And we're going to get him on as a guest pundit really soon, Ross, aren't we?
Yeah, he is. He's going to be coming on soon. He was due to be coming on for this one, actually. However, schedules weren't going to marry up, and he had gigs this weekend, so but he will be coming on soon.
Smash, and look forward to that. And also thanks to our sponsors as ever, the Falkirk Football Fans in Training. The Lava Cup is coming soon in the new year. We'll have all the details on that. I've seen them start doing a wee bit of promotion for that. And congratulations to the over 50s walking team, who turned out for a tournament at Starts Parts last week. It was won by Wraith, but the only team to beat them in the group stage was Falkirk. So we've got a victory over Wraith twice in a week, which I love to hear. And I'm totally here for it as well. So well done to the over 50s walking team last week in that. And of course, if you want to get involved with the T8s, you get yourself down to the stadium every Monday between 8 and 9. In fact, they'll be playing just now as we record this. Or you can go down Tuesday, 7:30 to 8:30. And remember, Super Vets football. It's over 50s, 8-a-side, but playing to old school 5-a-side rules. And you can get that at the stadium Friday between 5 and 6. So if you know, you want to get involved in football, you want to have a laugh, get involved with the T8s and the boys down there. Brilliant bunch of lads. Always rave about them. Great guys. Did you see them on hospitality the weekend? They're usually in there.
No, I didn't this week. Oh, wow. I saw a few of the guys in the Tolbooth Saturday night. They've been at the darts, actually. Over at Alloa, I think they said. But no, they weren't at hospitality this one. I'm sure they will be in again. Yeah, sometime soon.
Well, if you want to get involved with them, all the details are in the link below. You can get in touch with Ian, Wally, or Doogie, and they will sort you out. We've got loads to talk about, loads of club news, because we've been off for a week, so there's loads that we haven't discussed yet. And let's talk about Ethan Ross. Yes, Sensei! He is tied up to 2027 now.
Phenomenal bit of business. Phenomenal. What a guy. Like, he's just, he's playing at his skin now, isn't he? And exactly. Like, every time he gets the ball, like, he's the sort of left wing alternative to Callum, because you know what Callum's like when you, as soon as he gets the ball, you know he's driving on and go.
I think they're two very different players, and I'll tell you for why. I just think, and I've said it in this podcast, he just glides across that park, Ethan.
Yeah.
And I think he's more of a kind of beats a man type of player, as opposed to Callum, who I think, you know, kind of uses pace until it goes to the outside. Ethan likes to drift inside as well quite a lot, but I'm just delighted we've got him signed up, because there's so many of our team that you could say is the best player in the division, and you know, Ethan has got to be up there. You know, you can talk about Brad, you can talk about Liam.
It's a good shout, John, because you're right. So Callum and Alfie will probably beat their man, head to the byline, get a cross in, whereas Ethan, he does like to come inside, doesn't he? So in terms of, and Calvin's the same, he likes to come inside, get a shot as well, where he can.
Yeah, no, Alfie next?
I think so. On current form, he's going to be a hard player to not tie down. We've talked about it before. Is there a consistent player there? I think we are now starting to see a consistent player. And you
getting right, he's getting a run though, Ross. That's the thing. He's getting a run on the side. Callum Morrison, I think you'll see, he's just on the sidelines, like kicking his heels at the moment, because he obviously can't get in. But you can't drop Alfie. You can't drop Alfie. You know, we saw this. We'll talk about his second goal in a bit. Brilliant finish. So one extension. Fortunately, we had to say cheerio to Ryan Shanley, who's he's off. I don't know if he got picked up a club yet. I suspect he's lined up a club if he's, you know, because he's left before January. I've not heard from anything yet. I'd heard strong rumours about Stennis Muir, but I don't know if that's confirmed or not.
No, I've not heard any rumours. We've talked about it privately. He's a lovely guy. He came in on a free transfer after the situation at Edinburgh. He got a couple of goals, and it's just, he's not had that, like Alfie, I suppose, he's not had a consistent run of the team, but then when he's maybe had an opportunity, he's not fully taken it either.
Yeah. I think the last to throw the dice was the Stennis Muir game, you know, when he was put in there, and obviously had that misfortune with the penalty incident. Yeah. You know, and I think against, like, Stennis Muir, probably John was looking at me kick on, maybe get a couple of goals. He had some good chances that day, but just didn't take any of them. But I just don't think at this level it's suited him. You know, maybe part-time's the way to go with Ryan, but, you know, like you say, he's come to the club, he got us out of hole. You know, he scored against Montrose in the 7-1 win. He scored a couple of goals against Alloa as well. So he walks away with a league winner's medal, and the fact that he will be involved in any Invincible dinner is in years to come. You know,
well, that's what we put in the tweet, didn't we, when he left. He came in on a free, he left an Invincible. He'll never lose that tag, and fair play to him for doing it.
I know. I love in 10 years down the line when we're having these reunion dinners, when Alfie Aguiman and Ola I'll turn up for it as well. That'd be brilliant. Brad McKay.
Oh, yeah, of course. Listen, aye, and Invincible too. We meet him at the end of the season. Awards.
Leighton Bisland.
Yeah, Leighton Bisland too. Yep.
These will be quiz questions in years to come, mark my words.
Yeah, there might be a quiz question at some point in the next couple of weeks.
All the best to Ryan, and you know, well, Lance Feet, like, I've spoke to so many people like behind the scenes who really say he's like a really good player. I think when we spoke to Cole as well, he said, like, when you know he faced him in Edinburgh, he said he's one of the hardest defenders that he's come against when we were playing them, and you know, it's just a shame it's not worked out for Falkirk, but I'm sure he'll get sorted with that. Right, the news continues. The Raith Rovers Cup tie is now on the TV. The box office bairns are back, and it's a Sunday, the 19th of January, and it's a 12 p.m. kickoff. When was the last time Falkirk kicked off on a Sunday at 12 o'clock? I think it was probably going back to the last time we were Premier League against Celtic.
Yeah, probably either that or a random cup tie that we can't remember. But probably, mate. SPL days back in the day. It'll be weird. I'm not surprised we're on TV, because...
I was surprised. But I guess there's so many picks in this round, you know?
Well, there is, but I think we're a good choice, because the football that we're playing just now, Let's face it, if the BBC, I don't know who picks the games, but the BBC like programmer just, he's all over Falkirk now, isn't he? Like if it's not the championship, it's the Scottish Cup rounds that we've been in and everything else. So no, they're loving us just now. And the footballing show is just absolutely outstanding. So why not?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Calendar signing, the traditional Christmas calendar signing is happening this Thursday at the stadium. Go and get your calendar signed. I wonder, so you see, they've got 12 players. You can only pick 12 players, can't you?
That's true.
So do you think, so is there, but there must be the other pictures of the players. There must be, the whole squad must be included. But if not, right, here we go, Ross. Let's rank the 12 best looking Falkirk players right now. Okay. Obviously, Tom Lang's number one. Right, who's number two? We won't go in order. We've just got to pick the 12 best.
We're just going to pick 12, right? 12, okay.
The 12 best looking Falkirk players.
Okay, if I'm thinking about the squad for Saturday or the team for Saturday, Nicky's got to be in there.
Right, Nicky, big, tall, handsome. I met him actually up there when I was walking the dog on Saturday morning. I said, get it up, these lot, Nicky. So hopefully he took my inspirational chat. He was with his mum, Jen. Right, so Nicky's in, right? Tom's in. Liam Henderson's got to go in, eh? Big Hendo.
Big Hendo.
Big handsome boy.
Yep.
Well, for obvious reasons, we've got to put on Leon McCann.
Oh, for very
big, Leo, big Leon's got to go in there.
Big Leon has to go in. Matt, big,
right,
big
who Matt else has got? Brad Spencer's a good looking lad.
Brad Spencer's a good looking guy. We need Brad in there.
Right, Brad's going in. Okay.
Sean Mackey, is there a
Sean Mackey? What, Ethan Ross?
Oh, Ethan Ross. Sensei's got to be in there.
Sensei's got to be in there. Right, okay. Oh, we're running out of spaces soon here. Right, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We've got 6 more spaces.
All right, okay. Alfie.
Alfie's going in, okay. Like
I'm thinking of Luke Graham too. He's a
big Luke. Big Luke's going in, right? Okay.
Who else are we?
I think we've got to put in the captain, like.
Big call.
Big call.
Big call.
Right, big call. We're going to miss someone out here. Right, okay. We really should be, we should get someone who's a bit more of an expert in this area to do this.
I know.
Whether or not just going, oh, he's quite a good looking fella. Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 3 more to go.
I'm going to level you. I didn't think we'd be talking about this tonight, but fair play to you. Right, who came off the bench?
Who came off the bench? Right, Finn. We've got young Finn.
Aye, of course, aye.
You've got your right. Hold on. We'll put in the mibbies now and we'll whittle it down.
the mibbies. Is this the 2 o'clock? When the lights
go. Finn, you got Keelan. You've got, who else have you got? Finn, you've got Keelan, who came off the bench. I tell you, he'll be going on, but I think he's probably missed the cut-off. Big Barney Stewart.
Oh, mate, I was sitting beside him on Saturday the game.
Big lad, eh? I passed him and I went, oh my God, you're huge.
Oh, listen, Barney's got to be in there. He's part of the team.
All right, is he going in? Oh, Barney's straight in.
He's got a track, so he's in.
Right, Barney's in. Barney is in. Right, okay. We've got 2 more to go to make the calendar.
Is Alfie in? Did we say Alfie?
Alfie's in. You've got Brad. You've got.
I think who else is on? Who
you've
else
got Dylan Tate, who was obviously suspended at the weekend.
Who else is on the bench that we're forgetting?
You've got Finn. You've got Ethan. You've got Callum Morrison.
Of course, listen, Callum. Yeah, Callum. I'm going in there. Yeah,
Callum's going in with the M&M style haircut. Right, okay.
Who are you missing?
What about Chris McGill?
Do you know, that's spooky, because I was just about to say about Big Time. Do you know
what about John? Do you fix Sexy John? My God.
Does they do it for me? But
all right, okay. Is John no getting in there? Right?
I know, you're right. Big Time, he came up to the boardroom on Saturday.
Big Time Chris McGill. But he's right at the end of the year, so he'll be like, you know, you start off with Tom, and you get down to Chris in December, when you're not really looking at the calendar. No, that's the busiest time of the calendar, isn't it? All right, okay, so there we go. There's your 12 months of the year. Callum Morrison, Tom Lang, Nicky Hogarth, Liam Henderson, Leon McCann, Brad Spencer, Ethan Ross, Alfie, Luke Graham, Cole Donaldson, Barney Stewart, and big time Chris McGill, the kit man.
There we go.
Brilliant, there we go. Sorted that. So get yourself down to the signing this Thursday, 4 till 6, and see who's on the calendar. I wonder if we've missed somebody and we're going to get abuse for that, but there we go. So there's your calendar for you, as according to Falkirk Daft. And talked about sexy Luke Graham, Falkirk FC Player of the Month. Outstanding start to his career at Falkirk, Ross. I think we'll all agree.
No, he has. He's been amazing. He really has. I really, really hope that we don't recall in January. But, surely the big guy wants a potentially like getting a like the like getting a championship medal if we go that far.
Stop that chat right away.
Well, but listen, surely that's an incentive for him to want to stay.
I guess, though, when you look, you've got your captain sitting on the bench, you've got Big Tom Invincible on the comeback as well. Then you start going, well, and they're not going to. Hendo has been the Kaiser this. I mean, we'll talk about his performance against Wraithovers. I cannot talk enough about Hendo, and he's been so good. I mean, we talked about Brad Spencer and Ethan Oz. Liam Henderson has been unbelievable this season, absolutely unbelievable. But yeah, it's, you know, when you've got those kind of players breathing down your neck, and I guess under John McGlynn's mantra, he doesn't really chop and change unless he has to.
No, he's in the team until
the worrying thing is obviously Dundee withdrew him from the East Kilbride squad, so. Well, that's the worry for you. But I think that's a kind of standard that's been set. You know, Rangers have done that in the past as well. It's a lot of
Rangers
other
did it with Ty Kennedy, and then Ty Kennedy didn't get recalled. So let's hope.
But no, definitely well deserved the player month. I mean, it could have been one of a number. Brad Spencer, talk about Liam Henderson all the time. Brad Spencer's just been unbelievable. Wow. You know, Ethan Ross, it could have been any one of them. But I think
there's, you could go through the full starting 11 almost, and the subs that come on, like there's not been a bad player for so long. There really hasn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. So well done, Big Luke, and hopefully you'll stay with us, mate. Right, okay, new commercial manager. We've got a new commercial manager in, and I met him. Lovely guy, Sean Skelly. He's come from basketball and stuff, like the Caledonian Gladiators, and been general manager there for the past 5 seasons, and spent 5 years with the Glasgow Clan as well, doing marketing and stuff as well. Met him on Saturday. Lovely guy.
Yeah, got introduced to him on Saturday as well. Seems really, really switched on. I'm sure he'll do big things for the club as well. And do you know, he's got quite a varied backstory there.
Yeah.
I can't say I've been to either of the basketball team or the ice hockey team that you mentioned. However, thinking about the Glasgow Clan, the ice hockey team, I know that is very well attended through in Glasgow, isn't it? And you do, whenever you go to Bray Head, you see all their kind of stuff everywhere as well. No, listen, I'm sure he will come in alongside. I think there's another, I forgot the chap's name, that's coming in from Partick Thistle. They've managed
I heard about it. Brilliant. So, great. So,
someone else coming in. And obviously, the brilliant Paddy Haney's.
Yeah. Means Paddy's got pals again. So,
Paddy's got pals again.
And Paddy will manage to get home at some point now as well, because he's obviously been holding the fort. So, big bonus coming for Paddy, I hope, this one, because he's been holding the fort commercially as well. So, brilliant to meet Sean, and hopefully he can bring in the big deals to the club and get us some cash in. Right, we've got to talk about Falkirk Women. I'm delighted for the fact we're recording this on a Monday. It means we can actually say, we can tell the result. They beat Renfrew 2-0 in the Scottish Cup yesterday, with Olivia and Fiona getting the goals. And the player of the match was Amanda Nicholson as well. And the draw has been made, and it's on Sunday the 2nd February at home to the Jambos.
It is, yes, sir. I don't know if we'll do a preview with you and Cameron again, but the Jambos will be visiting the stadium. Just spookily, tonight, so obviously the draw was at 7 o'clock, and Stephen and Josh, who are the coaches, we've had conversations before about having a Falkirk Daft and Falkirk Women sort of collaboration day, and that is going to be the day, John. So Sunday the 2nd of February, hopefully you're free. I'm going to be there as well, and we'll try and get as many Bairns fans as we can down at the Falkirk Stadium that day. I don't kick off time to be confirmed, obviously, but what we're hoping is that this will be the biggest crowd that Falkirk Women have ever had at the Falkirk Stadium. Now, they don't normally take a note of the crowds, but it's normally in the dozens, right? What we want on that day is it to be in the hundreds, which is phenomenal. Now, Hearts are a really, really tough test for them. I think it's a bit like Falkirk. I gather from the conversations, it's a bit like Falkirk playing probably at a very, very informed Celtic, if not higher. It's a big, big game. However, if we could get hundreds of Falkirk fans there of all different ages, maybe the ultras could have an afternoon at the stadium that day as well. That would be amazing with the drums.
Brilliant. Well, let's do it. Let's do it. It's going to be our Falkirk Daft big match for the Falkirk women. We're going to see you down there Sunday, the 2nd of February, and let's cheer on the girls, and hopefully they can do it in the Scottish Cup. Brilliant. Look forward to that. Board update has come out. I have not had the chance to read this, and it looks an epic board update as per usual. So can you give us the headlines, Ross? Because there's a lot in here.
I think it's a very, very, and I use this, I very rarely use this term. I think it's a very, very sexy update, John, from the
board. It's a sexy update, right?
It's
so
a sexy update. Now, don't get
at
wrong,
what point do they ask us for money? I'm going to scroll down listings. Hold on, I'm just going to go, I'm guessing point C, when it says standing on our own 2 feet.
Nah, yeah, listen,
there it is.
I'm not gonna argue that there's like when I say it's sexy, there's not like loads of stuff in there about fellatio and stuff like that. It is very, very tailored to the Falkirk fans. But listen, I think it's a brilliantly worded update. There is in there, John, about us obviously doing what we can as a collective, as we have been, because it is working. But I have a read of it. If the people listening haven't read it yet, please do give it a read. It obviously talks about where we are just now, how good it is just now at the club in terms of the fans.
Oh, I just read point D about the third leg. There's been
There's an up there around potential investors as well. The commercials touched on, and obviously they do talk about the pitch situation. John, there's also a really nice bit in there about Eddie Moffat too, which I know. Yeah. There was a minute's applause for on Saturday. Yeah, but really, really big update. Probably not as big as previous ones, if I'm being honest, but it's very well worded and very informative, which is all you ask.
Okay, good. I will have a read of that tonight. Sorry, I've not been clued up because I've been working. When did it come out? I've been drinking all weekend.
I think it was Friday.
I was at my Cash for Kids lunch on Friday. Then I was out on Saturday. Then I had my daughter's birthday yesterday, so I missed this. So yes,
how much cash did you get for the kids?
Cash for Kids. It was £410,000 we made on Friday.
That's phenomenal.
Very, well very done, good. Yeah. We've got our sports auction this Saturday on Super Scoreboard. I'm maybe see if I can get some Falkirk stuff in that. But that's going to be happening this Saturday on Super Scoreboard.
Well done.
Bidding on stuff for that for Cash for Kids, which is a great charity. That'll be interesting to see. I think that, is there anything about creating more shares, Ross? Because I know there's been chat about lately.
Shares are mentioned in the post, John, yes. However, yeah. I'm trying to think where I did read it. I don't know if it was in this post or something previous. What they're saying, though, is that there is going to be money, and I think I might have read this from an FSS statement rather than this one, but long story short, if new shares are released, shares are ring-fenced for the money that the FSS is putting in, so they will always maintain the 26% plus one.
Yeah, but I wonder if there's the appetite, you know, like you say, capitalise what we can to, you know, produce more shares, and, you know, put that, you know, if anyone's interested in it, I'm sure there's a lot of people, you know, they've never had the chance to buy shares. You know, I think when we've previously spoke about that, there was when we, you know, we were appealing for someone who was selling their shares, there was a lot of interest in it there.
Was,
so I'm wondering,
some are still available, but yeah, there was a lot of interest there too. And I think you're right, John. Obviously, the decision to do it will be taken at a later stage, maybe once these investor talks are progressing, but.
I'd be interested to maybe put out a poll actually on our Twitter to see how many fans would be interested in buying shares, because you know, when you strike while the iron's hot and all that sort of stuff, there might be, and obviously without diluting the FSS shares, that would be, you know,
yeah, well, that's going to be maintained, so
exactly.
Yeah,
so
dilution there, so yeah, as you say, it's a perfect storm, isn't it?
Yeah, no, we'll certainly, but you know, if the club don't do it, we should actually put it on our own Twitter and just say, oh, would anyone be interested in that? So, yeah, let's do that. Before we move into the games, we've got two games to talk to God Almighty. Here we go. Let's say thank you very much to our sponsors, Behind the Wall, of course, Stay Local, Eat and Drink Global, and the Falkirk Daft Venoms are still on sale and doing a raring trade. So I hear we've had lots of pictures of you all consuming a Falkirk Daft Venom at Behind the Wall, including I got a message from Josh Heggie, co-commentator on Falkirk TV, who messaged me saying, tried the Behind the Wall, it was an absolute belter, the Falkirk Daft Venom Behind the Wall. So there you go.
It's getting rave reviews. My only wish is we had struck some sort of deal with Brian about, like...
Damn it. Missed out there.
Really, yeah, some sort of commercial opportunity here. But, no, listen, Brian's supported us massively. But did you see what they put on their Facebook yesterday, I think it was, and it was like an extra long... Falkirk Daft Venom Straw, and it was like the joke about Gary Barlow's son.
I did see that. Brilliant. So get yourself to Behind the Wall, get yourself a Falkirk Daft Venom over the Christmas period. You'll not get it. You'll be on a night out in Falkirk. When you're in Behind the Wall, remember, you've got to whisper, can I have a Falkirk Daft Venom? Because it's off menu. So you've got to get that. I'm sure it's going to go on menu, by the way, because it's been very popular.
Brian, if you're listening, can we not get this on the menu?
I quite like the idea that's kind of secretive, though. Can I have a Falkirk Daft Venom? And then, you know, waiting to see. And people are going, oh, what's that? I say, aha, you need to be in the know. You need to listen to Falkirk Daft. But yeah, obviously, they're doing a great deal Behind the Wall. They've been doing it all season. £5 for the home games, and then you get a free drink when you get back up to the bar, which is absolutely brilliant. Could have done my lift back up to the ground on Saturday there, struggling a wee bit. But you speak to Scotty behind the bar, get your names down, give them a call. You can check all the great stuff that's happening at Behind the Wall at behindthewall.co.uk. There's a third bus booked for Dunfermline away as well. There's spaces on that. So if you're going to Dunfermline on the 27th, get yourself on that. There's still seats available on for this Saturday as well, air away. And Aki's at home, they're maybe looking at a second bus as well for Aki's at home. So lots going on. And I know it's the festive period, so you know, you can enjoy a couple of drinks, go to the football and get yourself down Behind the Wall and get yourself on the buses. So speak to Scotty, get phoning up, get yourself on those buses. And Christmas lights are happening there as well. There's still some available if you've got a Christmas night out, you've got a watch night out, you've not sorted it out. I mean, last minute, Larry, for God's sake, you need to have sorted out your Christmas night out. But yeah, if you haven't, or you're having a lads or a girls night before Christmas, there's still some availability. Behind the Wall is a place to go. Falkirk Daft Venoms, what to be drinking down there. And Brian and the team there wish all Falkirk Daft fans a safe and happy festive period from everyone at Behind the Wall. There we go. Brilliant. Right, that's the news done. That's the sponsors taken care of. Let's talk football now. And we're going to talk it in the company of our guest pundit. It is Michael Ginetta.
How are we doing, guys?
Very well. Now, Michael, we've met before in person. You were lucky enough to join, unlucky enough to join the Falkirk Daft team as we took on football fans in training. I described you as a midfield dynamo. I thought you had a very good game, mate.
I don't know about that, John. I really don't know about that. I just remember being called onto the pitch, getting subbed on, and you referring me to, what was it? Here comes the Italian maestro coming on the field. No pressure at all. So, and I hope this isn't reflected in this podcast recording, right? So I picked up the ball deep into our half, drove forward, didn't realise how big the pitch was, and fell flat in my face. So fingers crossed tonight, I won't fall flat in my face.
Remembering that, can we also remember that Michael Ginetta should have scored a goal at the Falkirk Stadium? However, there was a certain former commercial manager who stole it on the goal line and claimed the goal when it was clearly going in.
That was a disgrace, wasn't it?
I know. Absolute heartbroken. Still heartbroken. Still think about it today. What could have been? Dreams coming true. Falk at first game playing in the pitch. Yeah. Nightmare. Yeah.
Mick, you do need to settle an argument for us, though, because John and I argue about this almost on a weekly basis, okay. Right? John played the most horrific of back pass. John, don't even dare interrupt, right? John played a horrific back pass, which was so bad that obviously I ended up losing the ball and they scored from. Who was at fault, Mick? Was it John with the back pass or was it the goalkeeper?
I can't answer that. I really
come
can't.
On, mate. You come know. On.
We all know the right answer, Michael.
Can he do that?
We'll get us settled in the next game. So, Michael, give us your Falkirk story.
Okay, so as you both know, I'm born and bred in Glasgow, so not brought up in Falkirk at all. I don't really know Falkirk other than the two stations and walking down to the games, and obviously Behind the Wall. Great boozer, by the way. I know that's your sponsor, so that's a wee shout out for them.
Nice one, Michael.
It is a great boozer. So anyway, so let me kind of tell you a bit of my kind of family background. So Italian second name, my family moved over from the south of Italy and settled in, firstly in the Grange House in the Stirling area, then Grangemouth, and eventually my nonno, my grandfather, bought a shop in the Cow Wynd of Falkirk. And like all Scots Italians do, we sell fish, chips and ice cream. And from there, basically, my dad was born in Falkirk and both of them were Falkirk fans. My grandfather was really proud of being part of the community of Falkirk, and that's been really installed in my dad and also installed in me, my brother and sister growing up. So my dad then married my mum, moved to the south side of Glasgow, and then my brother, sister and me came along and basically we were brought up as Falkirk fans. So from there, kind of really, really fond memories growing up being a Falkirk fan, probably the two only kids in Glasgow playing in their back garden, me and my brother referring themselves to being Falkirk players, so me being Sam McGivern, my brother being Simon Stainrod, and then when my dad and my brother wanted to put me in goals, I'd be Tony Parks. And then from there, basically went to Falkirk games with my dad, my uncle, my brother, and sometimes my sister. Fond memories of going to Brockville from the age of about 4 or 5. And then kind of the rest is history. Just continued all through my years supporting Falkirk.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Can you remember your first game, Mick?
I don't. Unfortunately, from the, like, the, because it was so early that I went to Falkirk, I just have like bits and pieces. So I kind of, there's one game that I maybe think is my first, and I think it was a Motherwell away game. But all I remember of that game is it teeming down with rain, cooling into my dad and my big brother continually running up and down the stand, going back and forth to the pie stall, trying to get sweets, crisps, go up. And that's it. And that's it. And then after that, it's kind of bits and bobs I remember of Brockville. So kind of two kind of, I, for me, kind of standout games were Chris Waddle's debut at Brockville, and also a 2-2 game away to Rangers, where Coco McDonald, I think, either scored one or two goals, and it was Mo Johnson's debut, and obviously Mo Johnson always wanting to play for Falkirk.
I don't know.
Love it. Brilliant, mate. Absolutely amazing.
Right, we're going to ask you this question. We've been asking it to our pundits this season. Who is the most disappointing? See, we've changed it now. Player to pull on the navy blue?
Most disappointing, right? So you've obviously got Leo Fasan, right? He wasn't a goalkeeper, right? I don't know what he was, right? Can I say a controversial one, right? And this might not be popular amongst Falkirk fans because I know he scored a worldie in the Challenge Cup final. I was never a fan of Neil Scally.
Oh!
I said no.
Oh, Ryan, hold on a minute. Let's get this guy off.
No, let's John, get this, this is not a controversial. This is one of the best nominations we've had.
Absolutely not. I'm not having that. Neil Scally, I love Scally.
He was shy.
Oh, yeah, do you know something as well, right? My brother always gets on to me about this, right? See players that can't run really funnily, right? They run really stupid. He just, there was something about him. And yeah, honestly, not a fan of Neil Scally whatsoever. I don't even know. I think he was Yogi's pet, to be perfectly honest with you.
And he played through walls for you, that boy. He was absolutely just battered people and tackled people. That kind of player I like. Oh, I'm gutted about that, by the way.
If you're looking for a player in that role, Davy Nicks all the way. There you go.
Right, I'm very disappointed.
Best answer we've had all season. Best answer.
Because Ross knows, Matt, there's one of the boys I go with as well, Chris, who's been on here before, Chris Hine. Me and him, we love Scally. We love Scally. And it's always been a bone of contention with everyone else. So, I can't believe you've said that, man. Jesus. Right, let's talk about the football. Two games to talk about then. And let's go back to the Scottish Cup. The other night there, it was East Kilbride against Falkirk at Kay Park. Ethan Ross was injured. That came as a bit of a surprise to everyone. It just wasn't there. But obviously, Alfie got his start. Sean Mackey came in at centre-half for Luke Graham, who we found out Dundee hadn't given permission to play as well. Those the changes we made, Ross?
Knowing what we knew, yes. Obviously, we didn't think about Ethan Ross being injured because there had been no chat about that. However, Alfie coming in made absolute sense. Obviously, you had Callum Morrison on the bench too, but I think that was him just bag, wasn't it? So Alfie was a definite starter there. And Sean Mackey, I thought, had a very, very, we'll talk about it, I thought he had a very comfortable game in Luke's absence. Different type of player. Like, Saki's a, I'm going to take the man and the ball. He's a brilliant passer of the ball, as we know, but he loves a tackle as well. But very, very different type of centre halves. But did it change how we were? Not at all.
No. What did you make East Kilbride, Mick?
To be honest, see the start of the game, I was quite nervous. I was quite nervous about it, just with the whole Darvel thing, and I thought Mick Kennedy would, get one over us this time. I thought Mick Kennedy sets up his teams very well. I think they can be proud of how they played against us,
Yeah.
keeping in mind where they are in the leagues. But certainly overall, we showed our class shined through.
Can I say something controversial about them?
Go.
I think they are the second best football side we've faced this season.
Really?
I thought Queen's Park are still, for me, in terms of a foot, like trying to play football, they tried to play football, right? East Kilbride tried to play football as
What
well.
about Celtic, mate?
I forgot about the Celtic game. Outside the Celtic, Queen's Park. And I thought East Kilbride did all right. I thought
Ross,
didn't set up defensively at all.
to be fair, they did continue to play the ball out from the back. They constantly had it all game. They didn't change. They changed slightly in the second half, but they were always playing from the back. So
I
yeah,
thought
no.
in the first half, I thought it was to their own detriment, actually. I thought like the way they were
Wasn't, it
trying.
was never going to be work out for them, but they did try, and like they
Yeah.
weren't just 10 men behind the ball or chasing shadows like Wraith have done now twice against us, So no, I thought they did all right. Thought they did all right.
Yeah. Alfie obviously doing his thing, getting the first goal. Great work down the right again from Keelan Adams, and again another assist for him, Ross.
Absolutely. Honestly, we're running out of words to talk about Keelan Adams, aren't we? Just defensively and offensively. But Gary Oliver obviously played a nice wee pass, diagonal pass out to him. Keelan just does what he does best, which is not just getting down the right-hand side with a head of steam. That wee look up just before he passed, he knew exactly what he was doing with the ball. And it was a sexy wee flick from Alfie. It really, really was.
Yeah, just doing that thing, Mick, of like any good winger does, getting in about the box when it's gone to the other side as well.
The fact, see, the ball was slightly behind him. I think McGlynn spoke about this. It's quite hard to take that finish, but just ending up in the top corner, fantastic. And then, as you said, Keelan Adams, so effective with those low crosses as well. Really effective. So, aye, no, very good goal and happy, delighted for Alfie as well getting a goal.
Yeah. And then, like you say, kind of the first half, we got through it and we got another fantastic goal right off the training ground. I know there was commentators going, I think McFadden defending it, saying, aye, that is definitely off the training ground. Is it a short corner? It probably was a short corner. I keep getting stick for it being a short, for slagging off short corners, and we seem to score an awful lot of goals from short corners. But it was a great flick from Gary Oliver. And a great finish from Callum Miller.
Fantastic finish. Really was a great finish.
I know.
Yeah, they've obviously practiced it, as everyone said. I'm sure a lot of the times it doesn't come off because a defender's guessed it. But on last Monday night, just it was the wee flick from Gary Oliver. Just it was perfectly weighted. The wee flick with the inside of his right boot, and Calvin just does what Calvin does. A really nice strike on it, and couldn't get anywhere near it.
Yeah. So like I think you sort of said, Michael, it was the second half. They came into a wee bit, just a bit of a change of tactics from them. They went. Was there any point you felt a bit worried though, Mick?
As I said, it was just that whole Mick Kennedy possibly getting one over us just for the Darvel thing. I don't know. To be honest with you, obviously they scored their goal. I know you'll probably get to that story, but they scored their goal maybe at that point, but it was very late on in the game, and then obviously we've gone and got the third. So prop, I don't know. I don't know. You're always going to be slightly nervous because there are times in games that we've seen with Falkirk that they do dip a wee bit, in the second half, but always good.
Should have been doing better with that corner. Do you think Nicky was a wee bit of fault, Ross, for that?
Look, I don't know. He's not had a lot to do, John, and there was obviously a bit of a fumble in the box, wasn't it? But we've not lost a lot of goals this year, so it's hard to sort of blame the defence.
And Nicky had a couple of good saves as well.
He did.
He's been from a free kick. Great.
Yeah.
I thought the changes they made, actually, just as you've said, the changes that they made actually were quite positive. So they were better in the second half than they were in the first half. Maybe a bit more direct in the second half as well, hence why they got an opportunity with the goal. But fair play to the guy, put it away. I think you're right, though, because it was quite late on. I don't know personally if I had any fear about it either, but I think it was just typical of us to then go up the park and score them.
Yeah, it was a fantastic finish from Callum Morrison, Mick, and good to see him back on the score sheet.
I'm delighted for Morrison, really am. Like previous games when he's come on, you can see he's keen to get that goal. He's on fire. Like you can see the kind of electric side to him coming through. So delighted, and you know, stereotypical Callum Morrison finish. Absolutely delighted for him. Great finish.
Aye, no, absolutely sensational finish from him. So, yeah, I mean, that was it. 3-1, up the road. Who was the man of the match for you, Ross?
Loads of good, do you know, Spencer was fantastic again. I'm going to go Brad. I thought he was brilliant. Yeah. I thought he was great.
It was Alfie Agyeman that got it in the end from the
BBC
pundits.
Gave it to Alfie, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just thought Brad pulling the strings again. Dylan Tate had another good game too. We'll talk about Rafe in a second, but obviously how that all worked well in his absence. But no, I think Brad.
What about you, Mick?
Tate for me, Dylan Tate. I think Dylan Tate was buzzing about and doing his usual, so definitely Tate.
That's interesting because I think I'm somewhere in the middle between you two, because I at the game I was like, I was surprised that they gave it to Alfie. I mean, he got his goal, and what have you, but I was so surprised.
So was I.
But there you go. So, yeah, into the draw.
He deserved his one yesterday, though.
Yeah, yes, we'll get into that just now. But into the hat for the next round. And then it was that one, it was like, oh, just such a meh tie, isn't it? Against Raith Rovers at home, who obviously we were playing there on Saturday as well, and you're just like, oh, I've got to play them five times a season. It's just, you want something a bit different, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Let's hope we get through and get another day at Celtic Park.
Or yes, get the cash.
That's it.
And it would set us up for the rest of the, because I think the game falling. The draw for the next round, if we're lucky enough to get through, is obviously mid-January, so you're going to know what you're going to face in the February. So you're right, Mick. A big money tie could be the difference of another player or two coming in January if John McGlynn sets his sights on any.
Absolutely. To be honest with you, I would like to see Falkirk do a cup run this season. I think there's something very special about this team, but I don't want it to be to the detriment of the league. So it's one of those ones.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what happens again. But we just wanted a wee kind of away day out. Like, I know we got beat at Bonnyrigg last week, but it was a great wee day out, Ross.
It was, yes. Bonnyrigg was an interesting away day. Maybe next round, if we get through.
Maybe next round if we get through, but yeah. So that was it. East Kilbride done on Monday on the telly over the box office Bairns. And then it was on to Raith Rovers. Now, this is a game that I've talked about right at the start of the show that I was desperate to win. I think every Falkirk supporter was desperate to win because I don't know why Raith have just really annoyed me this season. They really have. Is there any reason behind that, Ross? Is it just the cartoon I keep going back to?
No, listen, I think... as we heard from Luke Graham at post-match on Saturday, I don't think it's done Raith any favours on Saturday because the Falkirk players saw it, didn't like it. They made sure that they wouldn't be putting another one out on Saturday at 4:45. We've said it before, the Raith fans said, oh, you're making too much of a deal about it. The opposition players don't care. Well, we've just heard that they do. And I'm sure the Dundee United players didn't like it last year either, who eventually went on to win the league. So if that's their banter, that's their banter. I just don't think it'll do them any good, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I think it hurts. It's obviously, we say that it's up to players, it's up to...
And for it, it's just a bit.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, there's a couple of changes to the side, Mick. Double Tate was obviously suspended. Alfie and Agumon and Sean Mackey retained their places. But interesting to see a little tactical switch with Leon McCann getting dropped to the bench. Sean Mackey going out to the left back, and then Aiden dropping into the midfield while Calvin Miller went in at 10. I wasn't shocked by it, but I was just like, oh, that's interesting. What did you make of it, Mick?
Something different. But at this point in time, we can't really fault what McGlynn does. Do you know what I mean? He's always on point with things. So, yeah, certainly Miller being behind the stick, like playing in that position, that Nesbitt usually plays in, was definitely a bit of an odd one, but we saw it. It worked out.
Got to feel a little bit sorry about Leon McCann, yeah, getting dropped out the side, Ross.
Yeah. I think it was tactical, John. He obviously Wraith were really physical at Starks Park back in September, and I think John McGlynn's just felt, and we need Saki in there from his height perspective, from his physicality. If there's a bit of a battle on that wing. Obviously, that battle didn't really come because Wraith were really, really toothless and they weren't really pressing. But I think that defence that finished will be the defence that starts on Saturday against Ayr. I don't see John McGlynn changing the defence.
Interesting to see. Yeah, you know, we all know that John likes a big, tall man. And
this is men big.
Why is Leon not in the team? That's, you know, rumours to be had. you've got to feel sorry for Leon because, like, you know, he is so consistent and stuff. But I can see, because John McGlynn obviously likes big physical men in the team, and Leon obviously is just a bit short, but he does so well. But so I always feel sorry when Leon gets dropped out of the team. But I get it tactically from a, you know, physicality point of view, why he put Sean back into the team. Talked about Calvin Miller getting put into the 10, and it pretty much it paid off almost instantly. The boys came out the traps flying with a bit between their teeth. The whole team, you know, came out absolutely flying. And we didn't have to wait long for that first goal. Miller doing his thing, turning his man, and a great ball into Alfie to tap on home, Mick. It did seem that we just came out flying, as we have done in many times this season.
Absolutely. Ethan Ross was the kind of key to that all. Certainly, right from the get-go, there was a beautiful ball that he plays out to the wing, and I think it's Alfie that picks it up and unfortunately tries to play the cross in, and the defender gets to it. But then in the build-up to the goal, I think he picks up the ball, he does a wee shimmy, and then just glides past players. He's absolutely on fire for us. And I really wasn't expecting to see this season, but what a problem John McGlynn has with, like, keeping out Cal Morrison, you know what I mean? And then obviously his ball played to Miller, and then Miller switching it across and Alfie getting his goal. So as you said, good work, well worked, Will.
Yeah, obviously a bit of an injury quite early on as well, Ross, for Gary Oliver, who we've seen do so well in that kind of false nine role. But it didn't really seem to affect the way we played with Big Ross coming on.
No, not at all. And like, what a brilliant sub to be able to bring on at that juncture. Because obviously Ross is, we know what he can do. He's a handful. He's a big name, big presence in the squad. And I don't think Wraith would have been happy with that sub happening. Obviously, Gary's been so successful for us. We've not lost this season when Gary Oliver started the match. So let's hope he's not injured for too long, or if at all. But what was interesting, and a wee funny story, in the hospitality lounge after the game, obviously Alfie was up, big Luke Graham was up, and I think Alan Dick says to Alfie, obviously we Gary Oliver being injured really, really early, just similar to you, John, how do you think it affected us? And then Alfie, quite, like, with such a dry wit, he went, Sometimes Gary's just doesn't fancy it in a day, you know. And obviously, the place just absolutely burst out laughing. He's obviously done Gary a disservice there, but yeah, I think he's took a wee sore one. But hopefully, he's not going to be out for too long.
Yeah, I've not heard any reports about Gary. I don't know if it's what the problem. We'll find out, I'm guessing, this week what the issue is. Ross Domic came on, and you know. Did Ross McKeever things, winning the ball in the air, great little flick on, had that cheeky wee back heel, which would have, I don't know if he was offside. And do you think the linesman would have given it if it had went in?
I don't know. It was a good save though by the keeper, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can save.
Yeah, no. But yeah, I mean, it was like Ross, we created a load of chances. When you look back at obviously Calvin lobbing the goalkeeper and almost going in and clearing off the line as well. And like you say, Ethan Ross was just a pest, wasn't he? He was just you just the boy, obviously they had their right back, Fankati Dabo, went off early on for them as well. And they obviously injured Scott Brown as well. So they had a couple of injuries to compete with as well. But I honestly don't think if those players were on the park, it would have made a difference.
I think Dabo just absolutely shat himself. Ross had him schooled from the first minute, and I think he just thought, do you know what? I'm gonna sit this one out. It's not for me today.
I mean, like, I'm not surprised because Ethan Ross had him an absolute toast.
He
He
did.
had him toast every time he went up against them. I mean, the surprising bit, it was only went in at 1-0. And again, as I've said so many times with Falkirk, you just worry that the chances that we're going to rue those chances and they're going to come back and to haunt us. But it's just not been the case because I don't think they could get up the park. You know, I was amazed and surprised at Raith Rovers' press. I thought it was awful. Like, I honestly.
Why are you surprised about that though? Because they're not great. I
No, but
don't get. I don't get your.
see if I was a Raith Rovers supporter watching that, and obviously there was plenty in attendance. I'd be really disappointed they did not come up and force. Look, there was points at the match that Liam Henderson was just standing there with the ball, waiting for people to come and you know approach him and go, because they really didn't threaten us at all.
No, they didn't. And
Off of
but
that.
Mick, I don't know about you, but I stick by the fact that I think they're one of the worst teams we've played all season. Like,
I would
genuinely.
agree. I would agree with that. Wasn't impressed. Remember, we need to keep in mind as well, this was one of the favourites for the league this season. And they were very, very poor. I mean, I wasn't at the away game at the start of the season. I was so disappointed that from the highlights, so disappointed that was the team that we lost to.
Yeah.
It's like our unbeaten run.
Agreed.
They offered nothing. Even like they didn't, John, I think you were alluding to it. When they had the ball, they just did nothing with it. Passed it out. Like even Dylan Easton, right? I really rate Dylan Easton, and I'm sure you guys do too, right? He's a good player, but he was trying to do things, and no players were picking up anything that he was doing.
Yeah, I mean, I looked down their bench when the team sheets came out, and I looked down their bench going, oh, Lewis Stevenson's on the bench, Sean Burns on the bench, Cam Fordyce is on the bench. I had some good players on the bench, and then you think, all right, okay, then that's fine there on the bench. But you know, like again, Dylan Easton as well, it just didn't they didn't offer anything. They didn't offer everything. Like you say, I don't think the press was on at all. I think they sorted it a wee bit in the second half, but then when he started sorting it out, we had already went ahead and were 2 goals ahead, and it was Big Alfie again, who just had it just strolled forward. All he did was just stroll forward, and then just it was a great hit.
Why would they leave Alfie Agyeman with the turn of pace that he's got, with the body and physique he's got, on his own, even 35 yards from goal? Did you see it? There was like seven or eight Wraith players just round him in a circle, and no one wanted to tackle him. And he thought, fuck it, I'm just going to go and run and shit.
It was like, fuck it, I'm just going to hit it. And
I'm going to hit it.
what a hit it was.
Do you know what I love about that goal as well? It's Luke Graham just galloping forward out to the left, right? And then he runs into trouble. He's kind of players are surrounding him, and then he just stops, plays the ball back to Spencer, and then Spencer plays a beautiful ball to Alfie. And then, as you said, he just goes forward. And a great, what a strike, low and hard, absolutely brilliant.
I mean, Spencer, we've not talked about Spencer yet, but you know, him dropping in into that kind of, he's just a quarterback, isn't he? When he drops in, like, and he lets Hendo and Luke go or whatever, and he just drops in, gathers the ball, and then they don't know what to do. It's like, should I commit? Should I get as a forward attacking? Because then, if I commit as a forward, then I'm going to leave someone. And it's just the interchange, and we've talked about this before, the midfield interchange, and even Aidan being in there didn't make a difference, because Aidan knows how to play the game. And obviously Aidan would have been coached on that all week, knowing that Tate was going to be suspended, and we'd have been working on that and training. And they didn't miss a beat. They really didn't miss a beat in the middle of the park.
One thing that I want to comment on, and I've said this quite a few times to my dad, put Alfie as a gun striker. Would you try him out?
I would say as a nine. I think he's got it in it to be a nine.
He's got the speed. He's got the speed. He can clearly hit the ball, right? The only thing that I would question in McGlynn's tactics, can he hold up the ball like your Gary Oliver, like your Ross McKeever's? But certainly, yeah. I'd love it. Because then it's another like class player, number nine. That'd be something I'd like to see anyway.
When Ross got injured, I was kind of campaigning for that as well. But like we say, Gary Oliver's come in and done so well, and that kind of, we've changed tactically, but yeah, it's but yeah, so Alfie gets second, and then it turned for me into a training match. It felt like a training match. I turned to me going, this is like a training game. We were just having the ball, knocking about left, right, and centre, and they didn't commit to us. They didn't look interested. It was great.
it was great to watch. And as you said, we definitely were like, we could have played with our slippers on or Crocs or whatever people are wearing these days. But I think
or like grandpa,
grandpa, yeah. But I think you're right, John. I think they gave up, and I think they gave up very early in the game. It was interesting. A lot of their fans are obviously saying that on the basis of the first game when we played them at Stars Park, they didn't see what every other team's fans have said about Falkirk. They didn't see what the BBC commentators have been saying about Falkirk. But on Saturday, they saw it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, deal with it. And I think they gave up. Very, very quickly.
They were absolutely outclassed in every department. And I've heard like Raith Rovers supporters saying that they think they've got a better squad than us. What evidence is there?
Well, there's one guy in particular on the Raith podcast who's very, very big in that opinion, because he's now said it twice after both games that we don't individually don't have great players, but John McGlynn makes them into a good team.
I've never heard so much shite in all my life.
Absolute baffling. It's gobbledygook, isn't it?
Absolute bollocks. I've never heard that. It's ridiculous. Right, so the team that are top of the league, 23 points beyond you, haven't got better players than you. They've just got a good team. Now, we have got a good team. We've got brilliant players. We've got absolutely brilliant players. But, I mean...
How many Wraiths... Like, if we're flipping this on our side, how many Wraiths team gets into our starting 11, and I mean starting 11, I don't mean into the squad, because there's probably a couple that are good enough to be on in our squad.
Yeah.
But starting, not convinced.
No, none.
Certainly judged based on Saturday's performance. No, you're right, absolutely right. Second goal, another short corner, routine. Finds Keelan Adams in the box, and it was a great ball in from Ethan Ross again, who was just a thorn in their side all day. And Keelan Adams, was it going in? Don't know, but I'll take an own goal every day of the week. He was claiming it though. I was giving it to Keelan
as well, John.
Listen, he ran away celebrating as everybody would. Just like Carvitz did when he scored for Mick at the stadium.
Don't open up old wounds.
I know, that's true. Do you know what I love though? See, there's a Wraith fan who was vlogging on Saturday, and obviously they comment through the game, and the third one goes in, and I think it was that dark at that point that the light show was like at its most effective, right? And you can just get them, they're absolutely raging with the fact that we've got these floodlights that can do this. Absolutely raging, and I'm here for the scene. I really am.
Absolutely, it's good to see it. You know, when it's dark like that and the disco lights go on, brilliant. I'm all here for it. But again, it just, again, and after that, we could have went on to score more. It was just like, we're all right with this now, and we'll just settle for that 3-0. I'm sure John would have liked to have seen them get more goals. And there was obviously, Kyle Morrison was desperate for a goal, where you could just tell.
And I was desperate for him to get that goal, John. I just want to see him get that goal in the league and kick on. Obviously, got a goal in the cup, but in the league, I want to see him. And that's a scary thought as well, right? Callum Morrison, as we know, top goal scorer last season, right? See the fact that he's not yet performed. We've got that coming. That is scary. That is scary. There will be times where we'll rely on him, and that's great that we've still got that.
Like a new signing,
halfway. Yeah. And it's Calvin.
Yeah, I mean, the other one, you're desperate for a goal and just to get him back on, because I don't think I thought Ross, he was good, but I don't think he was brilliant. When he came on, he had a couple of great Ross McKeever-esque flicks and things like that, but you just think getting a goal under his belt as well, do him the world of good as well, because you just feel he's just lost just that wee bit of edge to him that he had to start the season.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that's a bad shout.
No, absolutely. What I feel sorry for Ross McKeever about is the fact that he scored against Celtic and then got injured. Could you imagine the confidence he would have going into the next game and get injured?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we can talk about Raith Rovers' chances, but few and far between. Nicky only had really one real save to make in the whole match, and he did it really, really well. So he must have taken on the words of advice I gave him on Saturday morning while I was out on my dog walk, saying, get it right up them, Nicky. So
the stat was, there was 16 seconds worth of Raith Rovers highlights, as in 16 seconds of their own attack.
Shut up, really?
Yeah. Because obviously we've now kind of heard and dissected from the other side, but... And that was from the Raith Rovers official highlights, not from the Falkirk highlights. That was Raith Rovers. Everything else was just Falkirk attack, Falkirk attack, Falkirk attack.
Wow.
It's pure porn, isn't it?
I am absolutely here for it. And I was dead. I was like, I've had it in my head since that cartoon fiasco, which enraged me. And it enraged a lot of Falkirk supporters and, as we've heard, the players. So we had our cartoon bow made up. And I was just desperate to hit the tweet on it, and it just felt me with such delight when I did it. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But no, I'm delighted. And it's like, we've talked about that, it's the bogey teams as well. It's getting them, because Wraith have been a pain in our arse for a long time now. You know,
they're lucky Airdrie are shite. That's all I'm gonna say. They're lucky. They are. Because they're the worst of the teams that are on those 15 points. They're the worst of the teams on there, in my opinion.
I wouldn't disagree. I wouldn't actually disagree with that. I mean, they'll say they're better than the Dunfermline, having beaten them already this season. But I actually think probably Dunfermline have got it in them, I think, in terms of the players they've got. Wraith have got good players, but just there's something just...
Something's missing
there
from the club. It's not just like there's a do you know when people scream, like, or you see people on Facebook who have, like, on Facebook they've got this brilliant life and brilliant job and brilliant holidays and stuff, but behind the scenes they fucking fight like shit over each other. I think that's what happens.
That's a great analogy.
That's absolutely... You've nailed it, Ross. You've absolutely nailed it.
No, I mean, no, I think something's seriously wrong behind the scenes.
So they're in the persimmon house with the nice dog, lovely car in the driveway, you know. Oh, I love you so much. All these pictures, all these selfies on Facebook of themselves out for dinner. But when they get home, they fucking hate each other. Yeah. What a great analogy. And I'm sure that analogy would be shared by the one and only John McGowan.
John, we spoke pre-match about how this was always a difficult fixture, but I think the guys mostly dominated that game out there today.
Yeah, we played particularly well today. Yeah, guys were... Well, they have been, you know, all season up for every game, and they've been up for this today as well. Great start in the game, great start. It was a really, really good move. Great ball across with Calvin Miller, and Alfie's got to settle into a great position to score. So 5 minutes into the game, exactly what we're looking for, a good start, get the tails up. We kind of dominated, you know, probably the rest of the first half. I don't think Nicky's had anything to do. We were very controlled in what we did. played for the back, we were very composed, we were very patient, building out from the back, getting the play past that phase and that phase of press, which then opened up things for Ethan Ross, who I thought done particularly well in the first half. His combination play and getting in behind them was excellent. We just couldn't get any other goals, unfortunately, in the first half. But some great play, some great football. We defended really well also. We were saying, didn't allow the Rovers any opportunities whatsoever in the first half. Second half, again, Alfie, a great strike. Again, it was a good move, but a great strike, which brilliant for him to get two goals. A goal on Monday night up at East Kilbride, and followed it up today with another two and a really, really good performance. And we were creating good opportunities. Ethan Ross cutting in from the left-hand side on his right foot was excellent, you know, barring goals and probably assists, because he's done everything else right. Just a little bit unfortunate, but he does have a hand in the goal for Keelan Adams. Keelan with a header, good for him. He's getting regular. Can he score from that full-back area now, which is excellent from our point of view. And a really dominant performance throughout. Nicky had one save, maybe about 5 minutes to go or so, down low to his left hand. And we dealt with one or two corner kicks. But overall, I'm absolutely delighted with the whole team. I thought the defenders were very good, composed in the ball. I thought Brad was excellent in midfield. I thought he ran the show, dropping deep and taking the ball, linking the play, going box to box at times. Pretty bit of play out in this wider area in the second half, where there was a ball he had to stretch, and he showed his athleticism and his gymnastic skills to get to that ball before putting a ball into the back post area, which we got a corner kick from. So I liked Nizzy dropping down, and Calvin playing in behind the striker, should say. So along and behind that, we had a lot of skill, a lot of ability, a lot of drive, a lot of, you know, dribblers who are going to get at the defenders, which happened. And all in all, a really good 3 points, really good team performance. Subs coming on played their part as well. Blow to lose Gary so early in the game, but good for Ross to get in and get, you know, 75 minutes under his belt. Gary just felt his calf, and although it hadn't gone completely, he was, you know, showed his experience in coming off before he made it any worse. So hopefully it's not too bad, but it's obviously too early to tell. Good to get Callum Morrison on the pitch. Yatesy, Mikey, I'd say Big Ross got on earlier in the game. So all in all, a really good day's work.
An epic answer from John there, as per usual. I mean, breaking his own records, but he's got to be loving it, eh? You just wish, I wish John McGlynn had come out of that. And you're never going to get it from John, because he's, you know, he's never up, he's never down. He's just always like that. He'd love it if he came out fucking pure Kevin Keegan at that one. I fucking loved that the day, by the way. Fucking get it up them. It would have been brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But John, on the level, professional as ever. But you know, come on, John. Just if we beat them again, and it's, you know, we're looking all right for the league. I hope he does it. I hope he comes out and does it. Fuck your cartoons. right.
Training days. The title of this week's podcast, but maybe it should just be "Fuck Your Cartoons."
maybe. Let's see what you guys are saying. To Elsa kicks off. Hello, Elsa. Comfortable win, and could and should have had a couple more goals. Alfie's second goal was a peach. Thought we were a bit untidy for the last 20 minutes. Could have conceded a goal late on. Good to see Morrison looking sharp and hopefully be on the goal trail for the rest of the season.
Indeed. Alan says, excellent to see us perform to the same levels despite losing Tate to the suspension. Brilliant to get the win over Wraith following defeat there early in the season as well. Alfie, superb. Morrison, unlucky not to score. And Hoagie, solid once again at the back.
Yeah. Chris, dominant win, lead a marker for the cup game. Thought the Miller in the 10 was brilliant. And Nesbitt inside Brad was immense as well. On the bench, we had Yeats, McCann, Cole, McKeever and Morrison, who were all key in the invincible season. Shows the strength of the squad we have.
Good shout. Yep, good shout. Ultras 1876 said, a real attacking lineup. Calvin was ace in the 10, man of the match, Alfie again. And then he goes on to sing our superstar from Ghana. Na 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 na. There we go.
Na na na. I'm going to have to work it out. I think it's My Chemical Romance, but we'll hopefully get a word on that. Simon Forsyth says, one word for hospitality. Did you meet Simon in hospitality perchance, Ross?
I didn't see Simon on Saturday, actually. I don't know, unless he was in another lounge, but I have met him in. He's in hospitality as well. I get abuse from people who go as well. Anyway, that's me. Dell says, professional, dominant, exciting, exhilarating, choo-choo, all aboard the Wayne train to promotion, Bill.
You're not getting me on that train, by the way, until the until it's almost there. I'm not on that train. Ewan Cameron has declared that we've won the league already. That sends fear into my bones.
I've questioned Ewan's football knowledge, but he's now bang on the money.
Yeah. Fuck it. No, absolutely. That man absolutely has no football knowledge at all. And the fact he's now...
You give him a job in a football fucking podcast.
Just for the banter. Right, okay. Dell says, professional... Brian Flynn, behind the wall, Brian Flynn, says, come to win. Alfie has clearly been told to come inside when Ethan Keel and Calvin have the ball. He is, in my opinion, a striker, not a wide player. Just reflecting what you said, Mick. We have a front five that no team in the league can live with on our day. Get the T-shirts done.
See? Come on, there's another one on the train.
Wait, anyway. Another one on the Wayne train.
And finally, Inge says, running out of words to describe this team. Commanding and dominant display from start to finish. Hendo was a different class yesterday. Get that promotion party booked, lads.
Another bloody one on the Wayne train. I met Inge on Saturday night. Lovely to meet her as well. So,
yes.
On a lot of people jumping on this Wayne train. Mick, are you on the Wayne train?
Not yet. Not yet. I'm much like
my man.
I'm just, let's get through Christmas, right? Let's get through Christmas, through January, and then February I'll be firmly on the Wayne train.
We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. Right, brilliant. Falkirk Daft rated. We going to do it for the week, or are we going to do it for just Wraith? We'll do it for just Wraith. Well, wait, who's Falkirk Daft rated player Ross Wayne? Is it obvious?
So many. Well, yeah, it should be Alfie. I'm kind of leaning towards Alfie, but then I've got Brad Spencer in my head again.
Brad Spencer's always in my head.
Yes. Aye, well, that's true. No, listen, I'm going to stick with Alfie. He deserved his start, and he got a tremendous couple of goals.
Mick?
Eden Nesbitt for me.
Ooh!
Oh, he had a very, very solid game. Now, as we know, he runs about constantly, but I just thought, on Saturday, he was set different class. So that's mine.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. And I would... Alfie really should get it. And I think he's going to end up getting it. But can I just put out a shout to Liam Henderson once again? He is the Kaiser. He strolls every game. Some of this stuff, he you know, taking the piss that he does as well. There was like a wee back here, wee flick, a wee turn around the corner. He's the Kaiser, man. He is unbelievable. And the fact that he's, you know, brought in Luke and he's playing, you know, bringing him through games. Not that I don't think Luke needs to be brought through games, by the way, because he's unbelievable himself. But I think you got to take a lot of credit, big Liam. So I would put a shout for him, but I think we've got to give it to Alfie for the two goals and the fact that he's 3-2 now for the week, you know. So Alfie, we'll give you Falkirk Daft rated. Falkirk Dafty, I've got one nomination away. It is the Wraith Rovers social media admin for even putting that cartoon up.
and the another one, I'll go with that as well.
Yeah.
I'll give you one. Do you remember what Dylan Easton did with the throw-in?
Oh, aye! Right enough when he just kicked it away. Aye. Yeah, what a fanny!
That was shocking.
What the hell was he doing?
Yeah, it was shocking, wasn't it?
Aye, Dylan Easton. Aye, fuck that guy. Dylan Easton's getting it. Actually, no, I was ridiculous. Aye, come on. I was just like, woo! Handbags.
Yeah, there's no need for that. There was no need for that.
Absolute fanny.
Fanny, Dylan Easton's getting it then. Absolutely. Brilliant. Well, good shout, Mick. Dylan Easton, you are our Falkirk Dafty of the week. Brilliant. Well, listen, we would say usually at this time, CEO, Mick, but you know it's Falkirk Daft versus time before we wrap up. And I am the quiz master this week. I've got five questions in front of me about Falkirk.
FC. You've got to answer them in a penalty shootout style. Ross is going to write down his answer. You're going to say your answer. And I will remember this time, Ross, to get Mick's answer first before I get yours. Do you understand the rules, gentlemen?
Yes.
Fantastic. Right. Well, here are your questions, and we're going to start off with question number one. Dead easy. Who succeeded Yogi as manager? Who succeeded Yogi as manager? Write it down, Ross. Tell me when you've got it written down.
Okay.
Mick, who was it?
Eddie May.
Eddie May, you're saying, Ross?
Eddie May.
One each. Question number two. How much did Falkirk pay for Sid Pudfoot? How much did Falkirk pay for Sid Pudfoot? A world transfer, the only Scottish team to ever beat the world transfer record, and it was the Bairns. But how much did they pay for Sid Pudfoot?
Okay, I've got something written down.
Ross has got something on it. Mick?
Was it... God. Can I, was it £1 million?
It was not £1 million. Ross, what are you writing down?
£5,000
is the answer.
I love. Yeah, I don't know what £5,000 is now. Like, it might be. That's
thank you, Ross.
There you go. Brilliant. Right. I did like there, Mick, for anyone watching the YouTube version, your very Italian hand gesture when you did the voice there. Right. Okay. 2-1 to Ross. Okay. What is the name? This is question number three. Of the 1997 Scottish Cup final song. The team recorded a song for the 97 Cup final. What was the name of the song?
Okay.
Ross, you've got an answer.
I'm very confident of this one.
Did you buy a copy of it?
I think I have got a CD copy.
There's a CD copy. Mick, you got an answer?
No idea, but I'll go with Bairns Bring It Home.
Bairns Bring It Home should be a song. Ross, what have you written down?
I fucked this up. I've written it down and I'll go with that, but I've fucked it up.
What have you written down?
I've put We Have a Dream, but is it
no? No, I'm not taking that. It's no, We Are the Team. Not.
It's like We Are the it's really
no, team. No. Sorry, you've written down We Have a Dream and it's We Are the Team.
We Are the Team.
So I can't accept that. I'm accepting.
Is that the Alan McLeod Scotland one?
Yeah. We Have a Dream. No, that's the beat. We Have a Dream. What's it? Oh, B. Robertson did that. So there we go. So it's still 2-1 to Ross. Right. Okay. Next question. Name any non-Scot that has been Falkirk manager. Name any non-Scot that has been Falkirk manager, and there are three names I can accept here. It's a toughie.
My mind has just went blank.
Aye.
Are we including temporary managers?
What do you mean by temporary managers?
As in, like, they've just been, like, filling in.
No. I don't know what you're thinking there, but it's no. I'm talking about permanent managers of the club. Were you thinking Danny Swanson? Was he Irish?
I was thinking of the English guy was with Alan. No, fucking Alan.
Alan Mabry, you're thinking of?
Aye, but no. I'm not thinking of him. I was thinking of who was the assistant manager to... the coach we had from Aberdeen. I forgot his name.
Exactly. No, I'm not counting. It has to be a full-time manager. Mike, are you out here?
Completely out.
Right, Ross, you're going to write some down or you give it up?
I cannot think.
Right, okay, then I'll give you the answer then. You could have one or three. You'll kick yourself with one of them. Willie Cunningham, Northern Irish. Reg Smith, English. And the third one, which is a bit of a cheater, Owen Coyle.
Good shout.
Republic of Ireland.
Good shout. I was thinking more modern, but I didn't go that far back.
Right, Mick, it's 2-1 to Ross. Still, you need to hope that he doesn't get this question right. you need to get it right to go to a tie break. Right, okay, final question. Question number five. What club did Davy Weir leave Falkirk for? What club did Davy Weir leave Falkirk for? I think I can tell by his little face he knows the answer to this. Do you see that there? You saw that little face there. You got something written down, Ross? Yeah. Mick, what's your answer?
Hearts.
Hearts, Ross.
Hearts.
It's a 3-2 win to the Wayne train. Oh, my word. There you go. Well done, Ross. Play the music.
That was a tight one.
But that means it's 13-2 to Falkirk Daft now. So we're running away with this, Ross. Still time for the catch-up. But we've only lost the same amount of games as the team have as well this season. So good work, mate. Good work. Brilliant. Mick, thank you for coming on. It's been a long one tonight, but so appreciate your time, and we'll have to have you get back on. Hopefully, see you back at the stadium for a game next season, and nobody will be stealing your goals this time, Mick.
Hope I get and I set up from you, John. That'd be ideal.
Absolutely, that'll happen.
Set up for last game as well. Unfortunately, it was for the opposition.
Right. Shutting that down. Sorry, Mick, thanks for coming on Falkirk Daft.
Take care.
If you want to be a guest pundit like Mick, get in touch, slide into our DMs like a long lost lover, or drop us an email, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
So on to the next one, as they say, and it is Scott Brown's Ayr United that we're facing this Saturday down at Somerset Park. Mick's form away, really, Ayr have had lost a last minute goal from Partick Thistle at the weekend there. Started off flying as well, but obviously Anton Dowds had started the season really, really well. Him and Oakley up front were causing all sorts of troubles. But after his injury, they've come off it a wee bit, because I said that I fancied Ayr. I really did fancy Ayr. The boy Marco Roos in midfield seems to have come off it a wee bit as well now. But they've only scored four more than Livy. Wow.
Yeah, and Livy are not great goal scorers. So it has obviously dried right up since Anton got injured. That partnership that he obviously kicked off with George Oakley, as you said, was obviously decent at the beginning. They've just fell right away due to that mixed form, as you've said, John. And
Insane that they are the second top scorers in the league behind us.
They are, but do you remember at the beginning of the season, though, they were hammering a few teams?
Yeah.
Now, and it just shows you how little they have been scoring of late, because they had racked up a 5-0, they had racked up a 4 or a 5-0 in another game as well. So they have only been scoring ones and twos or nothing at all. And it is why they have slipped right off, because let's face it, just 2 months back they were top of the league.
I mean, Scott Brown was getting, he got handed an extra big contract after St Johnstone started courting him as well. So it seems to have been from that point it's kind of went off. They've chopped and changed their goalkeeper like something else. I know Harry Stone, who is meant to be coming to us as well, he's been in and out of the team. I think they've used about 3 keepers this season.
That Harry Stone, do you remember when Ayr got beat off East Kilbride in the cup? Scott Brown's post-match interview, he absolutely threw that lad under the bus. Not good at all.
There's been a few interviews with Scott Brown that he has thrown a couple of boys under the bus. If that's how he gets his team going, I guess that's his mantra. But a team that in saying that though, Ross, 10 points behind us, they will be desperate for a win to get them back up and above Livingston. I'm not too sure Livingston have got the weekend, actually. I've not looked at the fixtures, but
I think Livy are playing Partick Thistle, actually, on Friday.
That's an interesting match right there. God, please give us a draw on that one. Or would you rather see Thistle win? I would take a draw on that one, by the way.
Probably a draw, I think.
I think this Thistle and Motor at the moment, when you look at there, I don't think they've lost in the last 8, I think, or like that, something ridiculous like that.
Partick's on a real good run.
Yeah.
Partick are on a real good run. And obviously, Livingston are having a good run too. They've obviously not lost since that weird midweek game to Dunfermline. This is a must-win game for Ayr. If they want to win the league, this is a must-win game. Yeah. Because I know we speak in jest about the league being done. Right, we are joking, if people are wondering. But 13 points gap between Falkirk and Ayr would be too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Would be too much.
They're not going to come back from that.
Yeah. So it's a huge game for Ayr, a huge game for us. You know, if we went go out down to Somerset and get a win there, it puts Ayr right in our rear view mirror. It really does. I mean, you think it, you know, like you say, 13 points. Yeah. That's quite a big gap between us and Ayr. You know, and when you look at how important that third spot is, you know, you start going, right, well, there is a real gap starting to grow. You know, when you look between the playoff teams that are vying for playoffs and then the rest of the league, when you look from six downwards, you know, when Dunfermline, Hamilton, Raith and Morton are all on 15 points, it looks like they're going to cancel each other a lot out in a lot of games. Yeah. Whether Queen's Park, Thistle, us, Livy and Ayr are all kind of, you know, battling out there in the kind of top six. Interesting. I'll be interested to see. I've not checked their injury list and how they've been going. I know they picked up a few injuries and stuff though, but you know, Somerset Park, we do okay there. We do all right.
Normally we do okay. The cup game that we faced them in July, we probably should have won the game based on the chances that we had. At our place, let's face it, it was a pretty comprehensive victory that day. I don't think it was ever going to be anything other than a Falkirk win based on how we performed. So they will have a point to prove. John McGlynn said at the end of his interview there as well, didn't he? It's Ayr United away. It's a tough game. However, as you said, if there is more dropped points on Friday night, there might not be. Livy might win the game. But if they drop points on Friday night, what another massive opportunity that will be to go and do it.
Here's a question. Just to see how the Friday night game plays into it, because if there is a chance to go 11 points clear, you know, on Saturday, that's a huge motivation. Even, would you take it? So, what? No.
If it goes 11.
No, it's not. That's not. Absolutely not. But you go, if you take, say, Livy, you take a draw there, right? So Livy go to 31, Thistle go to 27. Would you take a draw down at Ayr? You just want, you want to win, but it's like you say, Somerset Park, it's going to be tough. And like you say, they'll have the bit between their teeth.
I think if we're sitting here now, pre-match, you're going, no, you want to win the game. But if you're 1-0 down and you score with 5-10 minutes to go, of course you're going to take the draw. But I think we should be looking to go win the game. We really should. We've played very well against them twice now this year. We beat them last year in the cup. I think it was, well, was it the year before? No, it was last year, wasn't it? And so I think we go there on the strongest of form. I've not looked to see what the weather's looking like, but they've got a really good grass pitch down at Somerset. There'll be a massive Falkirk crowd going down there, Falkirk crowd, and it'll look brilliant underneath the old terrace roof as well. So, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it.
Not making it myself this weekend. Hopefully going to try and catch it somewhere. Maybe I'll be abroad and watch it on Falkirk TV. But, yeah, I'm hoping. Are you getting down yourself?
Hope so, yep. Some big games coming up, buddy, because we've got Ayr away, we've got Aki's at home. When we played Aki's last December, it was a big turning point.
It was.
Season for us. And then obviously we have those two away games thereafter against Dunfermline and Airdrie. So it's
very busy.
Big time coming up.
It's a big time. It all starts down at Ayr. What do you think the score's going to be?
I am going to say 3-1 Falkirk.
3-1 Falkirk.
What are you thinking?
I think we'll maybe draw this one.
I think
1-1. I think it'll be 1-1. But, you know, like I say, you can just, if it's a stalemate, like if between Thistle and Livy, which I think it might go that way, I think Livy will look at Thistle the same way they looked at us and approach that game, because Thistle are flying at the moment and, you know, they're playing, knocking the ball around quite well and doing all right. So it'll be interesting to see. So I think there might be a lot cancelling out of the kind of, you know, that top end of the table. So yeah, I'm interested to see what happens. But yeah, fingers crossed. Right now, a draw between Livingston and Thistle on the Friday and a Falkirk one would be delightful. absolutely delightful. But we shall see what happens. So enjoy it if you're heading out to Somerset this weekend.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global.
And that is it for Falkirk Daft. We got there in the end. What an epic episode that was.
It's almost feature film-esque. Training day, feature film-esque.
It almost is that way. But yeah, I've been in work now for 12 hours and I need to get home to get some food and go to my bed. So it's been a fun-filled day. Before we go, though, I've got to say hats off and a salute to the following people who are in the Samuel Omprion Roll of Honour. I completely forgot we had done this 2 weeks. And well done for all your spellings of Omprion, by the way. On there, Archie, Kevin, PGM, Stephen, Joe, Ali, Pamela, Elsa, Gary, James, Phil, Gary Wilson, Louise, Paul, Craig, Ingy and John, all on the Samuel Omprion Roll of Honour. Now we're going to take it back to old school, so if you reach this point of the podcast, you're going to have to listen a wee bit more until we give you the next theme. So you've got to listen to the end because it's Christmas. And what do you want to do at Christmas, Ross?
Win.
Well, win and also buy presents for your loved ones. You know what you can, and do you know where you can buy presents for your loved ones, Ross?
From the Falkirk Daft merch shop.
Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk is where you can buy them. Or you can head to Pints and Prints. You can get some Falkirk Daft t-shirts. You can get some Falkirk Daft aprons, you can get some Falkirk Daft baby grows, you get Falkirk Daft joggies, you get Falkirk Daft caps, you get Falkirk Daft bucket hats, you can get Falkirk Daft on anything you bloody well want, and you get that at merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. I've got a special range as well, thanks to Gordon up in pintsandprints.co.uk as well. You can get loads of stuff from there with Falkirk Daft. I especially like my Falkirk Daft 316 t-shirt, which I'd love to explain.
There's been a few of them sold.
So I look forward to seeing some of them in the stadium.
Gordon's added a mug. If anyone's looking for a mug, he's put that on his website as well. So
I know I might have to get a Falkirk Daft mug just so I've got something, because I've not got any.
I'll Falkirk do the same. Daft. We'll get one.
Yeah,
we'll
exactly. Absolutely. That'd be my Christmas present to myself. And but we could buy it. We'll say we're buying it for each other, and we'll actually just buy it for ourselves. So there we go. That's a nice way to do that. So yeah, get on there if you want to buy some Christmas presents. Time is running out. Remember, your wife will love it, or your husband will love it. Just Falkirk Daft stuff, great. Get us Apple, Spotify, or you can see our mugs on YouTube, quite literally. Get on there right now, subscribe to the channel, like and subscribe, do what the influencers do. Yeah, I think we should give the vlog thing another go at some point as well.
Been filming one away, or are you with your mate?
I am not. Stephen Mills tried to convince me to go to Dunfermline with a Dunfermline game. I said,
I think your life expectancy in Dunfermline town centre would be pretty
good. I don't think it would go well, especially if we're to win the match. So I don't think I'll do that. But yeah, thank you very much. And we've got a Discord channel, which again, I explain, it's for like a forum for the young team. It's like 1F and Falkirk back in the day, but you jump on there, all the young team are on there. In fact, some of the old team are on there and all, so have a get on there, get the chat, there's always good banter going on there, and that's our Discord channel, the links are below. And if you want to sponsor the episode, thank you very much to DJ Rankin. Get on board with all his tunes and get onto his Facebook page now as well. You will find that, if you just type in DJ Rankin to Facebook, you will get him on there, and you can get all his tunes, like I say, on Spotify, Apple Music, and if you like your dance music, DJ Rankin is your man. That's what I say. And we have established now is the biggest celebrity supporter we have, apart from Grant, who is taking Ross to hospitality in a couple of weeks' time. So that's that. But listen, thanks for listening to Falkirk Daft. Before we go, though, we've got to give you a player so you can get on the Roll of Honour for next week. And who is that player this week, Ross Wayne?
Is 80s sensation in my words only, Steve Cody.
Steve Cody, one for the old team there as well. So message us, tweet us with Steve Cody. We'll put you on the Steve Cody Roll of Honour for next week for reaching this point in the podcast. Thank you very much for listening on to air. And until next time.
Expect unexpected.
We're Falkirk Daft, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. with Folk of Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath with Folk of Daft. With Folk of Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a folk or being with Folk of Daft. We are Folk of Daft.